Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back. Lots of nice texts about Philip King there. Such intelligence and hope from Philip, says Carmel in Rathmines. And Sean in Selbridge says, please find a way to have Philip King on the radio every week, please. He's a massive positive tonic. Well, Philip King is actually on the radio every week. He has a show called The South Wind Blows. And like, cute out, he's able to do it from down there. And I think that's on Sunday nights at 10 to 11 on this very channel. So he'll be presumably on tonight. So we all knew Facebook was only for boomers these days, right? But now people are saying TikTok is killing Instagram. Of course, Twitter could be dying as well. So it's kind of hard to keep up. But here to tell us what's cool and what's not right now, this second, it'll be out of date by tomorrow, but right now anyway, in the world of social media, is Alexandra Ryan, CEO of Goss.ie. You're very welcome, Ali.
Thank you.
So The Atlantic magazine has proclaimed that Instagram is dead. And I know Goss has a huge Instagram reach. Mm-hmm. So you're very qualified to be talking to us about this. Why don't we start with, give me your social media history. When did you come into it?
It's a long one. I actually wrote this down because I was like, there's more than I realised. I'm going to start with MSN Messenger, which technically was a social media network, right? So that's when we started messaging each other in chat rooms. That was in 1999. So I think I joined that in like 2001. That's when I joined it. That's when you were on the dial up. You were telling people to WB, write back, get back to me. Then I joined MySpace, which is in 2003.
Okay.
That was really just focused on music. I had a band, so I had a band page. I was all about it. Then 2005, Bebo. I would say a lot of your listeners will remember Bebo. Like, Bebo, I think, was the first social network, as in we had walls, we could write on them, we were able to upload our own things.
And that was kind of coincided a bit with the Celtic Tiger as well in this country a bit, didn't it? So Bebo all was very, happened. Very glam and very...
Like, I started college in 2007, so that would have been 2 years after Bebo started. And I remember being on my J1 and we were all queuing up, and we were living in San Diego and there was like a little computer centre. We used to spend an hour queuing up just to log on to Bebo to see if someone had given us their love that day or written on our wall. So like, this was before internet was on our phones. We were that obsessed with it. So
the Bebo interaction was people wrote on each other's walls.
Yes. Now, in fairness, Mark Zuckerberg, he's a genius, but I remember thinking at the time he kind of robbed the idea, like a little bit, because Bebo was the first one that actually created this idea of a wall.
Okay.
So it was the first time where you could put a profile picture up. Because like back then, when you think of media, like when you saw images, it was photo shoots, it was magazines, you weren't ever able to put up your own pictures. So Bebo and MySpace were kind of the first ones where you got to create your own content. And then Bebo, you got to rank your friends. You got to give love to each other. You used to have a little drawing board.
You ranked
board.
Your friends. You see, ranked this was them. The beginning of it all. No wonder your generation has gone to hell. Ranking friends.
And then YouTube was in 2005 as well, right? So
yeah.
If we look at Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg started that in 2004 when he was in Harvard, but it only got big in terms of the general world in like 2006, 2007. So I remember when Facebook started and it just reminded me of Bebo. I was like, oh, this is somewhere where we can just write on each other's walls. The big difference with Facebook came later, which was the Facebook Messenger.
Okay.
So it's the fact that we were able to chat to each other too. But Facebook, I think it just got such a universal reach that everybody started being obsessed with putting up their own photos, tagging each other, writing each other as well. But I remember being in college in 2007 and doing an assignment on the idea of like the network, in inverted commas. And it was this idea that society were getting to this really anxious point where they felt like they had to be constantly online. And this was only in 2007.
15 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. And I remember it was a part of my cultural studies module. And I remember being like, God, I was having anxiety reading the research because they were just saying there was this FOMO element. So like years ago, you'd have FOMO. And even now, if someone's on a night out and you're not on a night out, the internet and social media makes it worse, because if you're not online, if you're not messaging, if you're not posting, and now it's if you're not sharing what you're doing, there's this constant feeling of FOMO. And I remember
and
in
you
the,
also know what everybody is doing at all times, so you're conscious that there's stuff going
there's
on
stuff
and
going
I'm not
on.
There
and especially with Instagram, which we'll chat about, like, you know, there's this whole fake version of life that's out there. You see people, you know, they're posing in front of the Eiffel Tower and they look like having the best time of their life. They probably had a panic attack an hour ago. They probably have no money to get the bus home. Like, we don't know what's going on, but we're being forced to look at that. So that was the start of it, I think, in Facebook.
What about Periscope then? Remember that?
Oh my God, I loved Periscope.
Remind people what Periscope was.
So Periscope was the live streaming service. And I think it got bought by Twitter at some point. So it used to go through Twitter. But I used to do Periscopes like midnight on a night out with my friends, just like chatting to people. And like hundreds of people from all over the world could just join your live stream and just be chatting to you.
That sounds very ill-advised.
It was so, so weird.
Yeah.
But The other thing that I think people always forget about is like Twitter was out before Instagram and WhatsApp, right? So Twitter is okay. One of my favorite, even though there's a lot of trolling on there and it can be quite negative. I love it in terms of news. Like it's the first thing I open in the morning is Twitter. It's like, what's going on? What's happening? So that started in 2006. And I remember the ad for Twitter was like, it's like Facebook, but it's shorter sentences. Do you remember it used to be capped to really short amounts? And what really changed then was that celebrities started joining social media. This is where it really changed.
Okay.
So Ashton Kutcher was one of the first people to join Twitter.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
And genuinely, he got the entire world on Twitter. Ashton was one of the first people. And he was like, this is the new cool thing. And before then, if you needed a comment from a celebrity or you wanted to know what was going on with the celebrity, you'd have to read the magazines, read the newspapers. What Ashton did is he started tweeting out his own statements, and then other celebrities started joining, and then normal people were like, oh my God, we can go on and we can follow Justin Timberlake, we can follow Britney Spears, this is so cool. That was never a thing. There was never a direct way for fans to interact.
Yeah.
Like I remember when I had a blog before I even got into newspapers, I was following Laura Whitmore and I just tweeted her being like, can we do an interview? And she replied to me and she said yeah, and I was like, this is mind boggling. How are we able to reach these people? And that's what happened with all the other apps. If you look at Instagram, like that's what happened. Celebrities joined, and then Snapchat, Kylie Jenner basically, you know, made Snapchat a success. She joined, everyone started following her. And I think about three or four years ago, she put up a tweet or something saying she didn't like Snapchat anymore. And I think like the stock price like plummeted. So they're very, very much driven by celebrities. And then we come to TikTok, right, which says in 16. It's actually been around for a lot longer than people realise. It just got huge during the pandemic because we were all bored and we wanted to learn a dance. But if you look at the most watched videos on TikTok, they're all celebrity driven. So people are going on there to follow people and go behind the scenes of their life, which when you think about it 15 years ago, we never would have got that with the celebrities that we knew then. You'd really only find out about them on a TV documentary or in a newspaper.
They
so I think that's what changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So listen, does everything have its day then? Is that what we're getting here? Like, so is Instagram, are people falling out of love with it? Is this, like people say, oh, it's lost its way. It's lost its way.
What way is it?
Yeah.
Like, I think The Atlantic was a bit dramatic. I don't think it's gone. In fairness to Mark Zuckerberg, he's very clever at like bringing other elements in. So for example, Instagram stories. That came about because of Snapchat. So Snapchat created this story sort of thing. So instead of putting up pictures on a feed, there was no feed on Snapchat. It was all stories. So Mark brought that in. So in general, I would say most apps have about 5 years, because when I look back and I see Bebo, when I look at Periscope, and remember Vine? Like Vine created
Which was TikTok in its day, essentially.
Technically. So, yeah. And Vine was bought by Twitter, and it actually was closed in 2015, and then 2016, TikTok was created. So it was just a short video. But like so many Viners, as they call them now, they're still celebrities. They became Hollywood directors. They became YouTubers. Like it started people's lives, but that just went. So I look at Snapchat now, and Snapchat I don't even have anymore. But when in 2018, I would have met people on a night out and been like, this is my Snapchat. Like it was such a part of who I am.
Okay.
Now it's gone.
Yeah.
So I think, though, in fairness to Mark with Meta, like he has WhatsApp, he has Facebook, he's Instagram. He'll probably keep it relevant. But there's a lot of problems with Instagram at the moment in terms of the algorithm. Influencers aren't that happy with it. They're moving to TikTok. And then we've got Be Real, which we're to talk about now. So that's 2020. I'm not on Be Real. Like people younger than me are on Be Real. But now it's this new social network that you're sharing moments that are unfiltered, basically, because everything we're seeing in TikTok and Instagram, the content we're seeing is taking hours to be created. You know, you see a photo of someone, it's probably the 70th photo that they took.
So just to explain to people, and I'm thinking of parents here, Be Real is like,
yes.
Do people get prompted once a day at a particular time?
Yeah.
Do your picture now.
You have to do your picture now. So I could get it right now if I had it, and I'd be taking a selfie of myself, and then the other camera on my phone would take what I'm looking at. So it'd be a picture of you in the studio. It's different to some of the other networks because it's mainly just friends right now, but I think it's going to get bigger. And now what's happening is people are sharing their B-reels on their Instagram.
Okay.
So it's all getting intertwined. But it's interesting to see the move towards like unfiltered, be real, be different, because I do think that social media is going to become uncool. I do think it's going to get to a point.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah. Because I can see it with the younger generation. Like they're into like the 5 second video clips now instead of spending hours on social media. So I think...
So there's a move back to authenticity, is there?
I think so. I think some of the bigger influencers and content creators are praised for like being more real, being more honest. There's a lot of influencers as well that
How
are just...
How real is it really though?
I know. Yeah. But that's where it's... I think as well, you have to look at the other side of social media, which is the trolling. The problem is when you open up the whole world to a network where they can all talk to each other is that there's a lot of badness there. And Instagram and Twitter have been bad, but TikTok is genuinely the worst. Like if there's any parents listening that their children are on TikTok, the comments... on some of the videos are horrendous. Like they are absolutely not in any way moderated. Like,
and these kids are not just sharing videos with their other little friends.
Like no, it's public. I would be probably most worrisome about TikTok if I had kids because anyone can
really?
Comment.
Oh, you're sending a chill across the nation there now, right?
But all you have to do is just keep an eye. You know, it's not even their own content. Like, you know, a celebrity could share a video and you go into their comments, like a Love Island star, for example, and like there's so much hate in the comment section, and that's something you see every day. So,
and do you think this is making these kids feel bad about themselves? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's healthy. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I didn't grow up in this world, but I think there is going to be a change. Like you can see with Instagram already, like when you go to comment on a new person's account, you actually get a little prompt that says, we want to keep this a safe community. Make sure to say something nice. That's just not on TikTok yet. But I do think the social media giants, well, if I have anything to do with it, are going to start becoming more liable for the stuff that's going up there. Because at the end of the day, if the social networks keep getting bigger and bigger and kids younger and younger, it has to become a more safe space. So that worries me. But I'm not saying it's all a big dark web out there. Like it is good crack and like it is fun and it is a great way for young people to express themselves and be creative. But there is a dark side and people do need to monitor it, I think.
Okay, so look, I think the people will be taking one thing away from that is we have to get the kids off TikTok. Right. Alexandra Ryan, CEO of Goss.ie, thank you very much. We'll take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.